No, not too far. But I don't know where the picture is.
Did you find it?
No, but I'm not done looking. Oh. I'm kind of a hoarder. I never throw anything away. So okay. It's somewhere. I just don't know where it is. It's probably in the same box as Lindsay's crossbow.
Yes.
I'm looking though.
It's interesting.
The crossbow is in Goodwill somewhere.
Well, that's just an outrage.
Just borrow one.
You can walk into a Goodwill store and they've got a crossbow.
I wonder what type of deal I could get on that.
My mom said she donated it or something. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what she means.
Now, Ireland, as I remember it, it's a picture. We were taking pictures for baseball cards, right? When
correct.
We were at the Mighty 690. And
correct.
I had been.
You were in actually really good shape, and I think
really
you were wanted to show it off.
So there was a famous picture of Jose Canseco with the bat behind his head
correct.
And both arms kind of hanging over it.
And so you did that pose.
Ooh, if you could find that picture, I would love to have that picture.
It's in a pile. I probably have 1,000 photos around here in places, but I will not give up. I'll tell you that. I'll keep looking.
So, John, Social Media Day, National Social Media Day. We'll get to everything, by the way. There's so much going on today. Obviously, last night, Hawks beat Milwaukee. Dodgers complete a sweep of the San Francisco Giants, the evil, hated ones. We're getting to that coming up.
And the Dodgers very much appear to be back.
Giving away another couple of 4-packs of tickets to see the private advance screening of Marvel Studios' Black Widow. We've got Game of Games, which is huge today. Literally the winner of Game of Games wins the month of June.
And
Ireland,
it's Michael's game.
Yeah. Michael's
so everybody's
gonna be
in it.
So
except
Ireland.
Yes.
Except the smartest except guy in the show, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Smartest guy in the show is not in.
I'm bad at guessing. My swag method is terrible. So, Ireland, it's National Social Media Day. And I've said, we all talk about social media, obviously, all the time. You can always reach us on social media. Lindsay, obviously, on Instagram, at Lindsay Baseball. I'll just take that and throw it out there right away. So,
thanks, Mace.
Yeah, it's the least I could do. I am of the belief, and you will say often, that social media is a cesspool, right?
It is. Yes, it's very toxic.
You know, there is definitely that element, but I believe there is way more good that comes from social media than bad.
Really?
Yes.
No
one, dramatic pause.
I know, thinks that except you. No one.
Do you use it as a source of information?
All the time.
Do you ever find it entertaining?
Sure, but I'm gossipy and I like kind of the sleaze.
Okay. Do you think we find bits on it?
Oh, well, sure.
Do you think
if your argument is Twitter good for or social media good for us, I will cede you that argument now. It's great for us. We have a radio show. I think it's bad for regular people.
It's bad. I'll tell you who it's bad for kids. Like I cannot imagine being a kid now and living in a world where your fellow sixth grader can go online and tweet something mean about you, and then you've got to sort of live with that in your circle of friends. I understand that's the downside of it. But I think people love sharing photos on Instagram.
I'll say this, that, and I'm curious if you guys are the same way. When I hear a famous person say, I'm not on social media.
Yep.
I always have more respect for that person. Don't you?
I think it's kind of foolish.
Like Charles Barkley is not on any type of social media.
Well, he just doesn't understand it.
Right, but I respect
Shaq is
him
on it.
More for that. Shaq doesn't really use it anymore.
But he was like the very
he
first
was an early
person
adopter.
I ever saw
yeah.
on Twitter.
Yeah, he was an early adopter.
Was Shaquille. So, Lindsay, is that true of you? Do you respect people more?
Lindsay, if you hear somebody say, I'm just not on social media, I don't have time for it, or I just don't use it, do you think more of them or less of them?
I mean, if it's a celebrity, I would applaud them because
right.
I think, like Mason's saying, he thinks they're missing an opportunity, but I disagree. I feel like, you could have a social media account and have somebody tweeting, you know, and posting and doing whatever
and
for you.
That happens a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot
you don't
of
ever have to look
that.
At it.
I always like, I'll watch an athlete, like, we'll be watching this game tonight. And I have a lot to say, by the way, about this Clippers-Suns game, whenever you want to get to it. But if somebody playing in the game sends out a tweet in the middle of the second quarter, I always think to myself, okay, that guy's not handling his own account. That guy has a...
Do you see that?
Oh, all the time.
Guys that are playing...
You know who... I've seen Trevor Bauer tweet during a game in which he was pitching.
They're allowed to do that?
You're saying that's a
no,
person
that means
doing that for
someone
Trevor Bauer.
Else has control of their account.
See, I would argue, John, because I think social media is a great marketing tool. Obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of people... My podcast is on social media. It's a way that I can reach out to people. If you're marketing something, if you're reaching out to people, if you're connecting with people, I would argue that I would like to see, and this would be different for baseball, I would like to see guys actually be allowed to tweet between innings. That would be great for the game of baseball.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I was Dave Roberts or if I was Joe Madden that I would be a fan of that.
But you know what I mean? It's good for the game because it stirs stuff up.
Yeah, I don't
I want, would at the very least encourage...
I don't want my best player running into the clubhouse and grabbing his phone.
I would at least encourage all players to be on social media because it is selling the game. Like, is Mike Trout on social media? I'm sure he is.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't tweet a lot, but he does have a Twitter account.
Yeah,
he normally tweets stuff. He's like Magic Johnson. He tweets all positive stuff.
Yeah, all positive stuff, sort of generic stuff. Magic's the ultimate in sort of generic-y, positive-y.
All right, so Magic is the number one sports figure of earnest tweets. Who's
oh my
number
goodness.
Two?
I bet you earnest we have the same, tweets.
I bet you we have the same guy. Who's number two?
Tom Brady?
Pau Gasol.
Oh, Pau. Well, he's just such a nice guy.
Right. But everything Pau tweets is like positive, uplifting stuff.
Yeah, and he does a lot of stuff in Spanish. He does a lot of outreach in Spanish, which is cool. Yeah, he's just such a good guy. Such a good guy. So Ireland, where do we start? Let's start with the Dodgers. Game and a half back. Kenley, his 20th save. Never have I been more right than Kenley's going to get to 35 saves.
Not only never have you been more right. I'm going to read you, in case you haven't seen this.
Okay.
Kenley Jansen's statistics for the month of June. Have you seen these?
I've heard Joe Davis talk about them, but okay. Go ahead.
So he threw 150 pitches. He appeared in 10 games, okay,
yep.
In the month of June. 10.1 innings pitched, okay?
Yep.
He gave up 4 hits, no runs, no earned runs, no home runs. He struck out 14 people.
In 10 innings.
Okay. Or I'm sorry, struck out 11 people.
Okay.
And his ERA for the month of June, 0.0.
Wow.
0.0.
Yeah.
Mr.
Yeah.
Blucharski has yes. no grade point average.
0.0.
That is... I mean, and everybody talks about how the Dodgers have been struggling and how they've underachieved. That's got to be one of the main reasons why they're only a game and a half out of the best record in baseball, because they're not hitting.
Oh, Kenley is killing it right now. And by the way, you know
what's
And I
thought the dumbest thing you said this year.
Okay.
The dumbest thing you said in 2021.
And boy, this is a record.
Is your proclamation that Kenley Jansen was going to save 35 games. I thought there was a chance Kenley Jansen would be designated for assignment by this point of the season. Not only were you right, he already has 19 saves, Mace, and the next game tomorrow in Washington will be the halfway point. So
yep.
He's ahead of schedule. Ahead, he might have 40-plus saves. I thought 35 was an outlandish number.
This is actually, he's got 20 saves.
Oh, so he got another one last night.
That's right. He got another one last night.
I mean, come on.
Against the Giants.
Come on. I mean, by the way, MVP of the Dodgers so far?
He's been great, but probably Max Muncy.
Muncy missed like 12 games.
Yeah, he did. You're right. 20 saves is a big deal. Muncy, weirdly, I mean, last night they said, Muncy has hit one home run for every 4 at-bats he's had against the Giants
this
year.
bunch of guys on these insane home run tears, like Shohei Ohtani, who leads the Do you realize that Shohei Ohtani is on pace to hit 55 home runs and his ERA is 3.1?
Yep. It's crazy.
I mean, he may be a unanimous MVP.
Yeah, there's no question. There is just he is
as anybody on a like a losing team. I think Andre Dawson won MVP on a losing team 1 year, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Ernie Banks won MVP.
Yeah, but I mean, it isn't even going to be close. There's nobody ever. You got to go back to Babe Ruth to find guys that were doing this. And Kyle Schwarber, who the Dodgers are going to see starting tomorrow.
Yep.
Schwarber and Ohtani have, like, in the month of June, have like, 17 or 18 home runs in the month. I mean, they're getting home runs basically every game. Ohtani hit two last night.
Here's
you mentioned Muncy, one out of every four. I mean, so whatever they did with the spider tack, or maybe they quietly switched back to the old ball, people are waking up.
Here is the one guy that could challenge Ohtani, and I think Ohtani is a slam dunk winner. But listen to this. Vlad Guerrero Jr. leads the league in batting, 344, has 26 homers and 66 RBIs already.
Well, and by the way, the hardest vote of all would be, so the Blue Jays are five games above 500.
Yes.
They probably won't make the playoffs. The Angels are three games below 500.
Yep.
But let's say both guys miss the postseason, okay?
Yeah.
Neither one of their teams makes the playoffs. Guerrero wins the Triple Crown.
Ooh.
And Ohtani hits 55 homers and has an ERA of 3.
That's a tough choice.
Yeah, I don't know what to do there.
But I would still go Ohtani.
Has anyone won the Triple Crown since Ted Williams? Did Miguel Cabrera do it 1 year?
Maybe.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I think there's only been one Triple Crown since the
1940s. It is so rare. It is such a rare thing.
But yeah, that's an impossible decision.
I was looking at the game last night, the Milwaukee-Atlanta game, and of course there was no Trae Young. How is it, and I thought...
No Trae Young and then no Giannis for most of it.
Milwaukee was done from the jump. Like Giannis had a terrible first half, was coming on in the second half till he got hurt in the third quarter. But how does a team not show up for a game in the way Milwaukee didn't show up for a game?
It's a fair question. And now that Giannis is hurt, they may have blown their window.
Yeah, this is it.
Atlanta may be able to sneak up on him. But, hey, applying that theory, by the way, I think you say the same thing about Phoenix in Game 5 against the Clippers.
Yeah, although, you know, I said the same thing to Lindsay, and she pointed out they were within 5 at the end of that game in the final 3 minutes of that game.
The Clippers or Milwaukee?
Suns were within 5.
Okay, but here's my thought about tonight's game, which is going to be at Staples Center. It's at 6 o'clock, so a couple hours after we get off the air.
Yep.
It is without doubt the most important game in the history of the Clippers. And if they win it, then that makes Game 7 the new most important game in the history of the Clippers. And it's also the most important game for Phoenix since 1993. In 28 years.
I think it's the most important game of Chris Paul's.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going. Okay, so here's the thing. We look at Chris Paul as one of the top point guards of all time. He's
no
an
question.
Absolute lock to make it to the Hall of Fame. His credentials are pretty much unimpeachable. I mean, he's been just an unbelievable player. But if he loses this game and then they lose Game 7, won't it stay with him forever?
That will have
you
lost
cannot,
3 games in a row
well,
in
you
the Western
cannot,
Conference Finals.
If you're Chris Paul, who people generally consider the greatest NBA player never to make it to the finals, you cannot lose to the Clippers without Kawhi, Serge Ibaka, and maybe Ivica Zubac, their starting center. You cannot blow a 3-1 lead to the Clippers. And if he does...
Yeah, that's the Clippers' job, is to blow 3-1 leads.
It will hang over him like not winning a title hangs over Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
It'll be the thing that people attach to Chris Paul forever. And he won't be able to shake it.
No.
If they blow... And by the way, in reverse, If Paul George somehow leads the Clippers to this comeback and pulls it off, no one will ever question his credentials again.
Never. And the one thing I know is that if Kawhi was healthy, the Clippers would roll over this team.
Correct. And so that's why the reverse of that is, if you're Chris Paul and your whole career is, this is your opportunity to go to the NBA Finals and get that monkey off your back, and you blow it, that's it. That's your legacy. And I like Chris Paul. I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's going to do it, right? I think the Suns will find a way to win one of these two games. I have no idea. The Clippers seem to have found something.
Well, their record in games where they're behind in a series.
In games 5, 6, and 7 is now 10-2.
10-2, yeah. I just saw Rachel say that. That's impressive. That's impressive. Now, of course, I will root against the Clippers. I will root – instead of rooting against the Clippers, I think I'll root for Chris Paul.
Yeah, it's easy to do. And for Devin Booker, who seems like a really bright star.
Ascending young star.
If you don't know the story of Monty Williams, I'll give you the 30-second version. Monty Williams might be the most respected guy.
Hang on a second, because we're late. Why don't you tell the Monty Williams story next? Plus, stupidest way ever to lose weight. And on this date in 1992, one of the biggest records in history, records in history, was released. That's all coming up for you. At 1:30, we got Wheel of Questions. Busy show today. So much going on. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Sup, fool? So, John, you were... We interrupt you, but there's a...
Yeah, you were looking for reasons to, you know, root for the Suns tonight, and I'll give you a good one.
Okay.
So the coach of the Suns is a guy named Monty Williams. Monty was a good college player at Notre Dame, and while he was there, he's religious, he's a Christian.
Yes.
And while he was there at Notre Dame, he met a woman named Ingrid, and they got married, and they started a family early, and they had 5 children. And Monty bounced around. He played 9 seasons in the NBA. Right. And after that, his knees gave out, and he became a coach. He was an assistant in Portland. He started in San Antonio with Greg Popovich, and he was assistant in Portland. He was Chris Paul's coach in New Orleans from 2010 to 2015. Then he got fired there. He went to Oklahoma City. And so he's been in a lot of franchises. He was also an assistant on Team USA in 2016 in Rio. So all the really, really elite players in the league know him.
Yep.
He's got a really big NBA family. And in 2016, Ingrid was driving home. He was an assistant in Oklahoma City. And her car was struck head-on by a guy who lost control, and she was killed. And Monty was widowed to raise 5. She was in the car by herself. He was widowed to raise 5 children who at the time were like all ages, maybe 15 to 5. Right when they were all like you, right when you need your parents.
Yep.
I encourage everybody when you have time to go on YouTube and watch Monty Williams' eulogy to his wife. Mace, there were 21 different teams who sent people to this funeral. It was in February, in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Popovich took like 6 people from the Spurs, and they had a game that night, and they just said, it doesn't matter, we're going. People from Golden State, where he never coached, were there. You know, people from everywhere. Team USA people were there. And everybody was just heartbroken for this guy. And by the time you hear him give this speech, he made everybody else feel better. He talked about how you have to pray for the driver that killed his wife because that family is hurting, and how he was going to figure out a way to make it work with his 5 kids and that Ingrid changed his life forever. And it was, it's just riveting. And then Monty kind of slowly put his life back together. He started coaching again, and he got the Phoenix job 2 years ago after they had won 17 games.
Yeah.
And now he's got him on the cusp of the NBA Finals. The Lakers, by the way, wanted Monty to consider them before they hired Frank Vogel.
Yeah, he was one of the finalists, right?
And Monty felt he was too far down the road with Phoenix and wanted to go coach the Suns. So he stepped out of the Laker process, and the Lakers hired Vogel. And then Frank won the title in his first year. And now Monty is one of four guys left who could win a title in his second year. So there's a good reason to root for somebody.
Absolutely.
If you have nobody to root for in this game.
All right, here's a piece of breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks have announced, actually, Zach Lowe, according to his sources, there is no structural damage
Good.
To Giannis's knee. His timetable for return is unclear, but it's not going to be the devastating, you know, gone for a year sort of injury, which is great news. Whether he returns to the series or not, we just don't know at this point. All right, so John, there's you don't care about your weight. Your weight is fine. You're skinny.
Yeah, one time I got close to 200. My ideal game, the weight I like to be at is right at 185.
For me, it's a battle, John. Every day, it's a battle.
One time I got close to 200, it freaked me out, and I went on MetaFast and lost 17 pounds in a month.
Remember that. That's a crazy diet.
Yeah, so you got to marry. It's basically astronaut food. You got to marry yourself to it for a month.
So there is a brand new way to lose weight, and it is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of stupid ones.
This is a new weight loss tool that uses magnets to stop people from opening their mouths wide enough to eat solid food.
Okay.
It's from scientists in New Zealand, and dentists can fit these magnets into your mouth.
What?
And there are locking bolts there.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. I know that sounds extreme.
Yes.
You know that many, many people, like big fat people,
body positive people.
Yes. Have had their stomachs stapled.
Yeah, yeah.
As a way to lose weight. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is you can't even talk. Your mouth is closed.
Well, I've heard people have wired their jaws shut to lose weight.
Yeah, this way they can only have a liquid diet. Is it the same thing? I don't know. This seems more extreme. There's an emergency.
It's different. It's different than stomach, like people when they get their stomachs shrunk, because that also trains your body to eat less because your stomach gets fuller quicker.
Is that so just, healthier? You know who had his stomach stapled, Mace, was Chris Christie, the politician.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Rex Ryan at one point.
Right.
Didn't Al Roker, too?
I think
Al
so.
Al Roker.
And so,
no shame in that. By the way, if you want to get that thing,
but
if you
announce to me you're getting your jaw wired with magnets in an attempt to lose weight, I would say you be you. Can you still talk?
No, the show would sound like this.
Well, then you can't do it.
My mouth would be cold. Yeah.
I think you're wrong. Kanye West did a whole song.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael Thompson's here.
Is this for people? I mean, I know some people out there just have physical conditions where they can't lose weight, but is this for people who just refuse to exercise and eat properly?
Yes, that is
correct.
Well,
Michael, it's a shortcut.
Yeah. It's dangerous, though, ain't it?
Well, is it any more dangerous?
It's dangerous. Plus, you can't talk anymore.
Michael, is it any more dangerous than getting your stomach stapled?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I've heard people who've had complications through that. And
sure.
I know someone, I won't say his name, but I know someone who did that, had that procedure, and died from it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I
know somebody. Actually, John and I both know somebody who had it and then lived on and started drinking McDonald's milkshakes, and it defeated the whole purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it works for some people, but I don't know. If you are physically able to get out and walk every day and change your diet, to me, that's the only way to go.
Well, yes. Chris Morales went on some crazy diet where all he did was eat bacon.
That's sort of what do they call that? The Atkins diet.
Marcellus Wiley, when he was working with us, did a thing where all he did was drink water with occasional maple syrup.
Yes. I know people that have done that.
That was it.
With cayenne pepper and stuff like that. Yeah.
Any nutritionist will tell you, if you just eat properly and eat their proper portions and get some exercise, if you're able to, that's the way to do it. You can lose weight. It takes time, but you can do it.
I knew Dr. Atkins, believe it or not.
You did.
When I was working in New York at WNEW.
Was he related to former Laker Chucky Atkins?
No, he was not. But he started the eat nothing but meat, eat meat and cheese and fat all the time, and it actually did work.
Michael, you know what's amazing to me is if you go back and look at most of the great teams of the 80s, okay, the Pistons, the Bulls, the Celtics, the Lakers – for whatever reason, all the other teams got fat except your Lakers. You look good. Byron Scott looks good. Kareem looks good. James Worthy looks good. Magic looks good. But you look at Stacey King or Rick Mahorn or ML Carr, those guys are all like big as a house.
Yeah, me and Michael Cooper, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, Coop, he looks good.
Yeah, we've kept our playing weight. No, we're not in the condition we were.
But Michael, you know some people just, whether it's genetics or bad luck or, you know, they're emotional eaters. They're people that, you know, it's a thing.
It's a problem. It's people are food addicts, right? Some people are food addicts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the way for me, it's cannabis. For some people, it's food. Actually, it's also donuts.
Michael, I was just telling everybody the story of Monty Williams. Do you know him at all?
Just from saying hello to him.
Yeah. He's a pretty easy guy to root for, isn't he?
He's one of the nicest people you'll meet in any walk of life.
And I didn't know this. He was in Rio as an assistant with the team you went and watched, the Team USA that Clay was on, right?
Right. Yeah, everybody loves Monty.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were saying before you jumped on, that you and I, Michael, love Chris Paul. We think he's a lock Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Of course.
If he doesn't cash this in, if they blow a 3-1 lead to the Clippers without Kawhi, won't that hang over Chris forever?
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, he's still going to be a Hall of Famer, still a great player.
Sure.
But as we know, Mace and listeners, there are different levels to this. Why do you think Jordan and Bill Russell and Kareem, Magic, those guys, LeBron is such a lofty level, a level above everybody else, all the other legends, because they deliver championships.
Sometimes it's bad luck. Like, sometimes there's a blocker in there, right? Like Charles Barkley during Jordan.
Yeah.
Karl Malone, John Stockton versus Jordan. Yeah. I mean,
everybody in the 80s that got blocked by the Lakers, Celtics, and Sixers.
Lakers, Celtics, exactly. In this case, he's really not blocked. I mean, they were up 3-1. The Clippers don't have Kawhi.
Right.
There's kind of no excuse not to win the series.
Oh, believe me, Game 7, and this is going to go 7. I cannot imagine they coming in here to beat the Clippers tonight.
Even without Kawhi.
Even without Kawhi, because the Clippers Clippers basically, compared to the roster of the Suns, the Clippers got grown men. The Suns are still young. This is their first go through, and for them, when they go back for Game 7 on Saturday, how could them young guys handle that pressure? I don't know. Because I tell you one thing, I love Monty Williams. But he's been kind of a little brain challenged in this series. How could you have
– Brain
challenge? Brain challenge.
I know what you're talking about.
How could you have a young David Robinson on the floor and he gets 9 shots? Are you kidding me? Have they forgot they got the third best center in the world on their roster?
And he was outplayed by Ivica Zubac the other day.
Well, he didn't play in game 4 game 5.
Yeah, kind of no game excuse. 4.
9 shots for DeAndre Ayton. They forgot about him.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And what did DeAndre Ayton do to the Lakers? He only looked like Shaq against us.
Destroyed him.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, it is Wheel of Questions, Michael. Mm-hmm. We spin the Wheel of Questions, and it's you never know what intriguing thing is going to come up. Plus, a record that was released on this day back in 1992, one of the biggest hits of all time, I'd like to dedicate it to the Clippers.
I also want to ask Michael what his thoughts are on all these injuries to elite players. Giannis was the 11th All-Star last night to have to deal with an injury. We'll get into that, too.
Yep, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Every day at this time.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. Lindsay's here. Jorge's here. Of course, Ireland. Mason and Ireland show. The whole team. And every day at this time, we spin the Wheel of Questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right. Yesterday, I got to see the wheel in person because I was in studio. I'm back home today. Spectrum is working. God, well, how the hell did that happen? They're working. Jorge, do you have the wheel? You ready to spin?
Yeah, let's do it.
And it is... Okay. If you were helping to raise money for a charity, and somebody agreed to make a large donation if you would perform at a fundraising show, would you, and if so, how would you perform? What would you perform? Assume the show would have an audience of about 1,000 people. Would you do it, and what kind of performance would you do?
Ireland, for you, it's got to be something to do with jazz and jazz hands,
yes,
right?
Yes, or I could sing my the entire hands. Sound of Music
right.
songbook.
Exactly.
Fosse.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I absolutely would. Why not? Yeah.
And
how big's the donation?
The question doesn't include that, but it just says a large donation.
Sure,
so
why not?
Would you sing?
Sure, why not?
Are you a good singer?
Of course I'm a good singer. I've beaten you in every sing-off we've ever had.
Right. He's a better singer than you, Mace.
Oh, I don't know about that. Mace sounds a little bit like Harry Connick.
Who does the national anthem like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually
pretty much everyone
out there.
You guys underestimating, underrating Mace's voice.
Michael, would you do it?
Yeah, I would do something. I would get up there and I'd be a thespian. I'd follow my idol, Rick Fox, and I would do some kind of acting role.
An acting role,
yeah.
Right? An acting performance,
yes.
Michael.
I'm not a singer or a dancer, so I'd have to do some acting thing.
Jorge?
I'll probably bring a banda or something, you know? I don't know.
A what?
Banda.
What's that? Oh, you can play that?
Yeah, I can play that.
All right.
Wait, you can play that?
Yeah.
Wait, what kind of instrument is that?
Oh, it depends.
Like an accordion?
Like an accordion.
Would it be racial for me to say you could do a Mexican hat dance?
That's why I play this, Michael. So the lane is open. The lane is open.
Well, hey, us, our cultures, we like to dance, Jorge. There's nothing wrong with that.
So, Jorge, you can actually play an accordion?
Yeah, I try learning. I know some of it, but not as much.
Oh, you got to bring that in, man.
Oh, I don't
you
have
bring
one.
That
they're
in one
expensive.
Wow. So if you know how to play an accordion, that means you got to push the keys and everything,
yeah,
right?
Keys.
So
yeah.
Can you play the piano then?
No, that's different.
It's different?
Yeah, way different.
My mom
yeah.
played the accordion, and we always goof on her about it. You know, young Italian girls in the 40s and 50s used to play the accordion.
You think any young people in their 20s or teens learn to play the accordion anymore?
It's like a hipster thing now.
Yeah,
total hipster thing.
I've seen folk bands use the accordion. I think Mumford and Sons sometimes uses the accordion. My mom she was in a beauty pageant when she was young, I guess in high school, and she was like Miss Mount Carmel or something like that, and her talent was playing the accordion.
Uh-huh.
And we still have one, and we try to get her to play it, but she absolutely refuses. What about you, Linz?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I would do it, but as far as performance goes, I mean, I can, like, tie together some balloon animals.
Excellent. Let's see it.
I tried getting on a show on Nickelodeon when I was, like, 12 with that talent, but I didn't get on. Other things I could do, hidden talent. I definitely cannot sing. You do not want to hear me sing. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I could team up with Michael and do some sort of Harlem Globetrotter style basketball show.
That's although right, balloon animals, very underrated, Linz. Very underrated.
It is.
For me, I would do, and I've actually done a little bit of this. In Ireland, I'm surprised you didn't say this, do a little stand-up comedy. I mean, we did at our roasts, right? I moderated your roast, and you moderated my roast, and
it was easy. It was fun.
We were both relatively funny. I think that would be the play.
But you got to be dirty. You got to be dirty when you do a stand-up.
No,
otherwise,
you
people
don't.
Ain't going to laugh.
Jerry
right?
Seinfeld never tells a dirty joke ever.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely be funny without being dirty.
Yeah, neither did Sinbad either. He never cussed when he did his stand-up.
No, there are lots of comics who don't do dirty jokes.
Yeah.
You want to hear a dirty joke?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
The pig fell in the mud.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
But that's not a joke.
All right, hey.
They do this.
Hey, you guys. I am right now, as we speak, filling out a Major League Baseball All-Star ballot.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so tell me if you agree with these. Okay, first base, American League, Vlad Guerrero.
No question.
National League, I probably should vote for Freddie Freeman, but I'm going to homer it up and vote for Max Muncy. Okay.
I think Muncy deserves it, John.
Well, Freeman's having a pretty good year too.
I don't think there's any shame in voting for Max. I mean, he homered twice again last night.
Second base, I cannot, in good conscience, vote for any Astros. So Altuve's out, and I'm voting for Marcus Semien in the American League. And I'm voting for Ozzie Albies in the National League. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's smart. I like Ozzie Albies. Gavin Lux is one of the final three. He does not really deserve to be an all-star at this
point. Third base is super tight. This is a hard one for you, Michael. Uh-huh. Nolan Arenado or Justin Turner? Right now, they both have exactly 35% of the vote.
Arenado, because he's a better defensive player.
He's having a great year, but I'm voting for Justin Turner.
Of course, because you're biased. It's not objective.
I'm voting for all the Dodgers.
Yeah. But I didn't vote for Lux. You can't vote for him. But, all right. Shortstop, Tatis, right?
Oh,
in the National League. Got to do it.
Going away. 25 homers and 55 RBIs.
Okay. So in the American League, again, I can't vote for Correa. So I'll vote for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I like that.
Just because
he's a free agent, by the way, at the end of this year. He's going to be an interesting free agent.
Okay, now outfield, I'm voting for Aaron Judge because he's having a good year. He's got, you know, almost 20 homers, hitting .285. I'm voting for Mike Trout, even though he can't play in the game because he's hurt, but he's Mike Trout.
Yep.
Okay, so, Mace, you can help me with this. Do I want to vote for Byron Buxton, who's having a good year for the Twins, or Cedric Mullins, who's having a good year for the Orioles?
I would go with Byron Buxton.
Okay.
Byron Buxton's batting .369.
Yeah, he's having a monster year. Wow. Okay, so my National League guys, I'm going Ronald Acuna.
Yep, no question.
Even though he hasn't been great, I'm going to go for Mookie Betts.
Oh, homing it up. I like that.
And then, okay, I'm going to take one of the Reds. I think I'm going to – both Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker have been good. I'm going to take Winker. What do you think?
I'm going to take Castellanos.
Okay, but
Acuna, Mookie, and Nick Castellanos.
All right, so we're pretty much the same. Yeah. There.
All right, I want to get to this one last thing here.
Yeah.
So on this day in 1994.
What's this? June, right? June 30th.
June 30th, 1994. Mm-hmm. This record song was released. Hit it there, Jorge. To the end of
Boys to Men.
The road. Yes. And
not a contest, Michael.
Oh. At the time, it was number one for 13 weeks, which is an all-time record. It was later broken by Whitney Houston 14 weeks for I Will Always Love You, but a huge record. And I'd like to dedicate it today to the Clippers.
No.
Tonight is the end of the road. A wonderful run. Congratulations.
Oh, no way.
But this You're is dead the end
wrong.
Of the road.
You're dead wrong.
You think they're winning?
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily dead tonight.
They're going to win tonight easily because the Suns, they pooped the bed the other day.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't that help? Doesn't that help coming off a terrible game?
Oh, the Suns? No, man. You can't come out that mentally weak when you have a chance to clinch a series and go to the finals.
It was very strange. But, Michael, if we divided all the players on the court, like if we were doing a draft, we'd probably take Paul George first, but wouldn't Booker, Chris Paul, and Ayton be second, third, and fourth?
Oh, no question.
So they have the better players. The Suns have the better players. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of if they show up.
Yeah, the Clippers, for all their frailties, they've been mentally tougher than the Suns so far. That's why
They're up 3-2. How can they be mentally tougher?
Because the Suns.
Well, the Clippers gave away game two.
Yeah, Clippers gave away game two.
Right. But the Suns, I don't know, man. I'm pulling for them because of DeAndre Ayton. But for them to come out in game five and start off down 20-5, it's like you're not ready to play.
Although they were within five at the end of the game.
Yeah, but that time you got to expend so much energy playing uphill.
It's true.
You just wear out down the stretch.
You're right. All right, coming up next, we will talk about the story that's no fun, but we have to talk about, which is the domestic violence allegation against Trevor Bauer. We will get into that coming up for you. And at 2:00, one of the great movies, kids movies of all time, is 50 years old. We got that coming up for you. It's Lindsay's favorite movie. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so not a happy story.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But necessary to talk about, Trevor Bauer of the Dodgers has been accused of domestic violence by a woman who filed a protective order yesterday, a restraining order against Trevor Bauer, who acknowledged that he did hook up with this woman twice at some point, and he says nothing happened.
He admits that they got together twice, but he says it was completely consensual. And what is interesting about this is his legal team, his attorney, is going on the offensive.
Yeah.
A lot of these cases, sometimes players and their representatives will try and lay low and not say anything. That's not the case here. Trevor Bauer's attorney has come, like, for example, ESPN did a long story on this. Trevor Bauer's attorney it's a guy named John Fedoroff.
Yes.
He released a statement to ESPN with, like, incredible detail as to what this relationship was. And this is very much a he said, she said. ESPN elected not to print the woman's name. Because it's a potential sexual assault.
Well, because it's not a civil case right now. They're seeking criminal charges against Trevor Bauer.
Right, but they have texts from this woman.
Yes, this is the contention, yep.
Asking Bauer to do the things that he allegedly did. So it's going to be weird. I don't think this is going to be your typical, player gets accused, everybody goes quiet. An investigation quietly. I think this is going to very much play out in public.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And there's a difference for some reason. Maybe it's not fair, but there's a difference when somebody is seeking criminal charges as opposed to civil charges. That's not to say that at some point this woman won't file a civil
right.
Case
remember, she might be looking at it from Bauer's perspective, and I'm not alleging that this happened at all. And if an assault was committed here, I think whoever committed the assault should pay the price. But you could contend that if you were going to file a civil suit, this could be a first step in that.
Right. Right.
It'll be interesting to see if this affects Trevor on the mound. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. The Dodgers have issued a statement that they're taking it very seriously, and they'll wait for an investigation. But what's unusual about this case is that Bauer and his representative are very much coming back at her with, no, we have all
of
her
text. We have text messages, we've got pictures, we have all kinds of stuff.
We have this whole relationship documented, and what she says happened did not happen. So I think this is going to play out quickly, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. If there are no criminal charges filed, that will definitely say something about the case. But,
hey, so changing subjects.
Yeah, please.
Michael,
please
you
it.
Still there?
Yeah.
When people say, and this is LeBron's contention, that the reason so many injuries have happened in the playoffs this year to star players, elite players, Giannis became, depending on how you classify it, the 10th or 11th All-Star to go down last night. Do you think it's directly related to the quick turnaround that there was only a 77-day layoff?
No, not at all. Guys work out year-round. I know the season's taxing on your body. I went through it for 14 years, and you take a couple of months off, and you get right back to hard work, getting ready for the season. So, no, I don't believe this for a second.
But MT, don't you think that this was not a normal off season? I mean, what the NBA is doing is they're trying to squeeze three seasons into 2 years. There was, 70 days or 79 days, something between the Lakers winning the championship and the season restarting. And it's not an accident that any of the teams that went deep last year are gone and suffered injuries. I think the NBA should have widened that window a little bit in the name of player safety. I mean, you never played a new season 79 days after you ended the other one.
No, but we put our bodies through a lot more wear and tear than what these guys have to go through now, because these guys don't practice mates. They don't fly commercial anymore. They don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to catch a 7 o'clock flight to play that night. So, no.
Well,
these
guys used to go by stagecoach, right?
Exactly. These guys have so much rest and are so pampered now. No, they get enough
and
rest.
And mates, like Stu Lance, when we travel with him, has a copy of the schedule, like one of those pocket schedules from one of the years he played. And at one point they had five games in 5 days, all in different cities.
Yeah. These guys today are so pampered, it just drives me nuts.
disagree with LeBron. You think there's no correlation between...
And Michael, your son is one of the guys that got hurt in back-to-back years.
Yeah, so, but he got hurt in the summer working out, which could happen anytime. Like Dr. Clapper said, his Achilles was probably worn out from who knows? It just happens. But that could happen anytime.
My personal opinion is... just given the spike in injuries, that it's not a baseless...
Man, Giannis came down awkwardly. That could happen in October. Trey stepped on someone's foot. That could happen in October. Come on. Kawhi Leonard made a move that he makes 1,000 times. That could happen anytime. Come on.
John, what do you think? I think there's a correlation between the two.
I think I'm anxious for them to have a full off season because I want to see if the numbers self-correct.
But, John, they're not really going to have a full off. I mean, these teams are going to
restart.
Well,
the Lakers are. The team I care about is.
But this Final Four is going to have what?
They're going to play in July. So they're basically playing an extra 3 weeks to a month.
Right. And the season won't start again until last day in October. They'll be fine.
Last week of October,
they got 3-4 months to rest. They'll be fine.
Did you see this Dennis Schroeder thing, the German interview with Dennis Schroeder?
No.
Yeah.
He says he wants... Schroeder. Sorry. Is it Schroeder?
He said Schroeder.
Okay. Let's not do that again.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dennis. Let's just say Dennis. Dennis wants $100 to $120 million.
Yeah, that's why he turned down 80.
He turned down 80. Now, is that somebody you can afford to bring back if you're the Lakers?
Mace, I want a vacation house in Hawaii. Doesn't mean I'm getting it.
Do you think that money is out there for Dennis Schroeder?
Somebody will give it to him. You know, well, at least 100 for 4 years.
Yeah,
25
well, here's one
year.
Thing I'll say about that. I never begrudge anybody for how much money they make.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not.
Or ask for.
Get what you can. What you can.
I mean, if Dennis thinks he can get it, more power to him, but that doesn't mean a team has to give it to him.
No.
But see, I think the average Laker fan, if you ask them, do you want Dennis Schroeder to come back, they would say no.
Why? He played well.
Mace, I would argue that the average Laker fan would say he was our third best player last year.
Often he was.
Let's measure that. 877-710-ESPN. I got a lot of negative Schroeder tweets, especially after that 0-for-9 in, what was that, game 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 0-for-9 when it mattered, when it counted for real. Now, the weird thing is, I don't think the Lakers have a choice but to give them the money.
Oh, I absolutely think they have a choice.
You do?
I do. I think
they're hard capped,
right? But I think they have a choice about everything. That's why you got a guy like Rob Pelinka as your GM. He knows all the rules. I mean, you can sign and trade guys. You can move. There's going to be roster turnover for the Lakers.
Well, without
whether
question.
It includes Schroeder or not.
But don't you think it's on the margins? I mean, that's the one guy that they can afford to bring back because they're allowed to go over the cap to sign him.
Yeah, they're allowed to go over the cap to sign any of their free agents.
Right, correct. That's why I think they're going to wind up – this is just my opinion. I think they're going to wind up re-signing Schroeder no matter what it costs because they can go over the cap for him.
Would you rather go over the cap to sign Schroeder or to sign Andre Drummond?
That's a tough question. I think it would be Schroeder. I was not a fan of the way Andre Drummond clicked with that team. I think Andre, you know, my general opinion of the team is, you know, Rob Pelinka's the guy that's going to figure it all out. But tick, tick, boom, I think there are a lot of players that we're not going to see that were on this year's roster. There's going to
be I think that's a
turnover.
Fact.
And I think that the players that they need to keep are THT and Alex Caruso, who's a free agent. THT is a restricted free agent. But I want to see those two guys come back. I would hate to see this team without Alex Caruso in particular. And he's going to get paid, but the Lakers can go over the cap to pay him. I mean, I think we need Alex Caruso back. Because the team just, if you look at all those plus minuses and all that stuff, the Lakers just played better.
At what price do you want Kuzbach? He's going to want 15 a year.
You can go over the cap to sign him. Is that what he's going to get?
I think you can get him for 4 years, 48. Don't you?
Yeah, somewhere around there. That's what
so
I think.
So 12 million a year?
Yeah, he's going to ask for the Luke Kennard deal, 64 for four, something like that.
Yeah, right in that, it's somewhere in that window.
Yeah, I would do it. The Lakers have got a lot tied up in, obviously, LeBron and AD, and not a lot of wiggle room in terms of over and above that. The one thing that they can do is to bring back their own players and then deal with veterans' minimums and all that kind of stuff to fill in the rest of the roster. But, this is Rob Pelinka. It's like a Rubik's Cube trying to put it back together in a different formation, because not everybody we saw play in 2021 is going to be back for this next coming season. All right, you know what movie came out today, 50 years ago? Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is Lindsay's favorite movie. So I want to talk about that, and also just best movie from when you were a kid, a little kid. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.